Hi, gang. Bob Bolving here with The Mystery Project and Clean Sweep, our Nova Scotia series about Bonnie and Ben Marston, starring Deborah Allen and Richard Donat. Episode 1 is called The Ice Boy, written by Alf Silver.
Oh, that's great, honey. Melissa, Mummy's still not supposed to get up, so would you turn on the radio for me, please? The noon news should be on.
Another unseasonably cold May Monday all across the province. Here in Member 2 County, searchers are still looking for a 5-year-old boy missing since Saturday.
What a sin.
Young Darren Fitch of Toronto has been visiting his uncle, John McPherson. Mr. McPherson, owner of Ashland Stables, woke Sunday morning to discover the boy had gotten up during the night and wandered off. The search is being hampered by the ice storm early Sunday morning. Motorists are asked to keep their eyes open for the boy. Police say young Darren may not be able to identify himself as he suffers from Down syndrome. Anyone with any information is asked to contact the Member 2 County RCMP.
What's Down syndrome, Mommy?
I'll tell you after the news, honey.
The Minister of Education is expected to announce further amalgamations and closures of community
colleges. Hello, Pumpkin. Did you re-shingle the chicken coop while I was gone?
No.
How are your knees?
Well, they're there. Don't know why the little bugger couldn't wait for the freaking ice to melt. It was 4 hours cash money. You could hear that halfway to Halifax. So, how are your other parts?
The doctor said it's finally healing this time. She can take the sutures out on Friday and I can be back at work in a couple of weeks. She said there's no way to know for certain whether it was because of our little afterthought here or just the warranty on my plumbing expired early.
So you figure to be fully operational in a couple of weeks?
Probably even before.
Well, that's good news.
You're telling me. They said on the radio news they still haven't found that poor little boy. You going back on the search?
I'm beat from chucking cordwood all morning. I spent 12 hours yesterday tramping across busted tree stumps covered with ice.
What if it was Melissa? Would you want your neighbors to say, I looked for her yesterday and that's enough?
That isn't what I said, Bonnie. Well, just give me 20 minutes to have some cheese and lunch.
I'm sorry, Ben. I was just lying here feeling sorry for myself and I got reminded of that poor little boy. Born with 2 strikes against him, then his parents get killed in a car accident and he gets farmed out to institutions or from one relative to the next. And now he's lost. Poor Mr. McPherson. He doesn't even have his wife here to tell him it's not his fault.
Whose fault is that?
I met his present wife.
Present is one thing she ain't.
Well, maybe she doesn't want to still be down in Arizona any more than I want to still be down on this damn coach. Her lungs,
She's got the healthiest looking pair of lungs I ever seen. Next to yours.
Ben, little pitchers.
Oh, I wouldn't call them that.
What pitchers?
Nothing, honey. Just your daddy being foolish. Oh, here comes the job line. Turn it up, Melissa.
Don't see why. Hasn't been anything on it for me in 2 years.
You never know.
And McCormick's Building Supplies. Local lumber milled locally. Well, there's an opening for a short order cook at Wade's Restaurant. And a new listing for a loans officer at the Pisiquid Village Credit Union.
That's my job. That's my friggin' job.
Nah, Frank's been phoning you every week to find out how to get into
exactly. Where's my purse?
Barney, you'll pop your stitches.
Move your truck out of the way, Ben. Barney, I thought you were chilling there. In his office,
no,
but...
Barney, what are you doing out of bed?
What are you doing advertising my job?
You know it wasn't me, Barney. I know your situation with Ben and the kids and all. It's been almost 2 months. Head office, you've already used up twice your sick leave, and they told me. Well, they have the legal right, even if it isn't right.
Stop blubbering, Frank, and stop bullshitting me. You can hire some kid at a business college for half my salary and no benefits, and it makes your bottom line look good. The Friendly Village Credit Union.
You'll get a severance package.
You bet your ass I will.
And I have to ask you to hand in your keys.
Sure, Frank. And what are you going to hand in when head office asks why the manager can't manage the place like he seemed to for the last 16 years?
I'm sorry, Bonnie.
You sure as hell are.
You all right?
I didn't pop my stitches. I thought you were going to help with the search.
I did. Got there just as they were carrying him out of the woods. He looked like... Well, I guess the ice storm was still blowing when he finally lay down. Looked like he'd been dipped in glass.
Dear God.
I brought the tracking dog in from Truro and finally picked up a scent way back on one of the riding trails. I guess he came out onto the trail, thought he was falling out of the woods, but got turned around the wrong way.
Poor little thing.
So, you still got a job?
Nope.
Nothing you can do about it?
Not a damn thing, except fight for the best severance package I can get.
Well, Darcy and the boys are pretty much looking after themselves now. Melissa's happy with clothes from the pick and wear.
I can renegotiate the mortgage to a longer term, cut the payments in half. Mona at the bank will be happy to do a deal to spite the Friendly Credit Union.
Well, they'll have to give you a pogey, even with the new rules. That and your severance should give us almost a year. Well, something will turn up.
Something will turn up.
You must have vacuumed the house from top to bottom 4 times in the last week. It's getting to where if I sit down in the kitchen, I'm afraid you're going to spray me full of oven cleaner and scrub me out.
If I just sit by the phone and try to think of other places to send resumes, I'll go crazy.
Well, I'll go crazy if you keep this up.
Well, that's what I'll do then.
Huh?
You don't get what you've got here. Other people don't have a cleaning fool at home. Lots of people. I could put a notice on the bulletin board in the hardware store, and at Wade's. And it wouldn't cost much to run off extra copies for Merton to drop off. Even if it just brings in an extra $20 here and there, that's an extra $20. Right? Good morning, Mr. McPherson.
You'd be Bonnie.
Bonnie Marston.
Yeah, Bonnie, you said you'd bring your own supplies.
In the car, I thought I'd see what you wanted done before.
Guess I'd better show you.
I wanted to say I'm very sorry about your nephew. I know sympathy doesn't help, but...
What else is there? Marston? Marston. Big Ben Marston?
My husband.
He's still with the Parks Department?
Got laid off when the government changed.
Well, as you can see, the whole place needs a thorough going over. I guess a couple of days at least. I let things slide all winter while my wife was gone, but now that she's coming home...
She's feeling better then.
Hmm?
Rose, she's breathing easier so she can come back?
Yes, breathing easier. She'll be back next week.
Well, that's good news. Say hello to her for me. She used to be in 4-H with Moyle, my eldest son.
Mm-hmm. This is the spare bedroom. I know the bed looks perfectly well made, but I'd like you to put fresh sheets on it. Then we'll toss it down the hall. I should have done it myself, but... I keep remembering Darren was so proud he could dress himself and make his own bed. I guess that sounds foolish.
Not at all. Everyone in the county wishes they could have done something.
Nothing anyone could have done. Once he was out in the woods, it was out of anyone's hands.
Do you have any idea what he might have been chasing?
It could have been a sound that woke him up or some shadow he saw out the window. It was a bright, clear night. Darren couldn't understand the storm warnings. Even if he'd been found alive or made his own way back, we'd likely never know what got him out there. Even his mother used to say she had difficulty understanding what he was trying to say. Well, he's gone now. There's an ensuite bathroom in the master bedroom. I'd like to show it to you, if I may. It's over this way. I wonder if you could check out around the jacuzzi jets.
Show me where. It's creepy. The place is like the inside of a crypt. All the plants are dead, just standing shriveled in their pots.
Same thing would happen here if you left me alone all winter.
And you get the shivers in the ice boy's room. All his clothes still there, folded neatly in the drawers. Oh, my God.
What?
The bed was made.
Whose? What?
The ice boy's bed was made. Mr. McPherson says Darren got up and went out sometime in the night, and he didn't know he was gone until the next morning. So why was the bed still made?
Maybe he never got into it.
Exactly. Do you say goodnight to a 5-year-old child without making sure he's tucked in? The newspapers said Darren had no brothers and sisters, and his parents' insurance gave him $1 million trust. Who does it go to now?
Well, you'd know more about that kind of stuff than I do. Parents, brothers, and sisters, I guess. Once it's parceled out, it won't be nearly that much.
Not that much. Maybe only $100,000 or $200,000 each. All Mr. McPherson had to do was take Darren out there in the woods and leave him. No one would ever ask any questions.
People don't go around killing their nephews for $200,000.
Not kill. Not the way Mr. McPherson saw it. Once he was out in the woods, it was out of anyone's hands. That's what he said.
Bonnie, your imagination's working overtime. And maybe you're just a little ticked at being treated like a servant instead of the lady behind the desk. A couple of $100,000 is pocket change to John McPherson.
That's what everyone assumes. Maybe I'll find out different.
How?
When I'm dusting his office shelves tomorrow.
There's no way you're going back in that house alone.
I thought you thought I was imagining things.
Probably. But I'm going with you.
And what'll I tell Mr. McPherson? My husband likes to watch me scrub toilets.
Well, you take my beeper then. Just hit the emergency button and you'll have half the volunteer fire department there in 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Look, if I don't go, nobody's ever going to do anything about it. And even if McPherson did what I think he did, that doesn't mean he's crazy enough to try to kill somebody face to face.
No, he hasn't tried anything like that yet. He hasn't caught some snoopy woman trying to put him away yet.
Mr. McPherson, I'm almost done up here.
Mr. McPherson? Are you still outside, Mr. Ferrier? Come on. Come on. Thank you. 36MFV10.
Bonnie?
Oh, God.
Bonnie?
In here. Oh, hi.
Why were you in there with the Hoover running out here?
Sorry, I remembered I'd left this dust rag in here, and Ben always says it uses less power to leave something running for a minute than turn it off and on again. Do you think that's true?
Electricity isn't exactly my field of expertise.
Me neither. Well, just this little side room to finish off, and you can have your peace and quiet back. It was a quarterly report for a numbered company. I didn't have time to read it, but I wrote down the number. With the credit union's modem, I can get into that company's files. You don't want to know how much information we can get on you just by plugging in a number.
I don't think Frank is going to let you just waltz in there and start playing with his computer.
He doesn't have to. When I gave Frank back the keys, I didn't tell him I had a spare set made up years ago. You know how I'm always losing track of where I left my keys?
You've lost your mind.
Do you like the idea of living the rest of your life in a place where the neighbor you bump into at the hardware store maybe murdered his 5-year-old nephew?
Well, I'd like it a lot better than my wife in jail for breaking and entering.
It's not breaking. I've got keys for the doors, the key for the burglar alarm. The only problem is, the silent alarm runs off a combination Frank changes every month, and that alarm gets relayed straight to the RCMP.
Well, that's the end of that, then.
Not necessarily. I only need about 15 minutes. They monitor the police radio at the fire hall. You could drop down to the fire hall tonight to have a few beers and play a little cribbage. I can wait by the payphone outside waiting, and you can call me when the patrol cars are at the far end of the county.
No.
If you want, then I'll do it anyway and take my chances.
I said no.
There is a road.
Yeah. Short leash, but no choke chain.
Hello?
Okay. One patrol car's got a drunk driver in Finport. The other's in Butcher's Corners. You'll have about 20 minutes. Hurry.
I will.
And if you haven't got what you want in 20 minutes, get out of there anyway.
And the sound alarm went off. Think we should check it out?
Reed, it's probably just a power search. Isn't it my turn to buy you a beer?
Holding companies, numbered companies. Can't you do anything simple?
Corporal Qualchuk up to answer the alarm. I sure wouldn't want to be Frank tomorrow morning.
Look at this rabbit, Warren. I guess he started hiding assets when he decided his first wife was past her best before date. He's like a kid in a candy store. Shares in power companies, motels, commodity futures. But he always kept a solid base in reliable conservative investments, like home appliances.
Home appliances?
Sounds pretty safe, doesn't it? People are always going to need fridges and stoves. Except these days, people that already have them aren't upgrading. And kids starting out are buying secondhand. Last year's sales of new major appliances dropped 50%. 50%, just like that.
Huh.
Those were the dividends he was planning to use to pay off the long shots he was buying on credit.
But that's no reason to... But he could just sell off one of his Jaguars or get a smaller place.
That wouldn't get him what he wants.
What's that?
I want to make a long-distance call, okay? It's late enough for low rates. I'm going to call a trailer park in Arizona.
Hello?
Rose? It's Bonnie Marston from home.
Royal Smoke? What's happened?
Maybe nothing. I just have to ask you something. What made you suddenly decide you'd be coming home soon?
I don't think that's any of your business.
Like it was none of my business when I pulled you out of the ditch when you were 13? Look, Rose, it's no big secret that the reason you married Mr. McPherson was to get out of Butcher's Corners. I would have done the same thing if I was you. But your husband wasn't holding up his end of the bargain, was he? But then a while ago he called and told you everything was going to be all right again.
Well, he said everything was going to be back like it was, in a month or so. That was, three Sundays ago, so...
Sunday? Are you sure it was Sunday?
Yeah, I was watching 60 Minutes when he called.
Rose, someone else is going to call you about this probably tomorrow. Just tell them the truth, just like you told me, and you'll be fine. And whatever you do, don't call and let on to your husband.
Let on what?
Look, it'll just be better for everybody if you don't.
Bonnie, does this got anything to do with...
Take care, you. Sunday. They didn't find the boy till Monday. How did McPherson know on Sunday that Darren hadn't just wandered down the road and hidden somebody's barn through the ice storm? I guess it's too late to call Corporal Qualtrough tonight.
Wouldn't it be better to just leave an anonymous message?
They wouldn't pay any attention. If I ask Corporal Qualtrough to keep my name out of it, he will. I got him his mortgage.
If the avenues you suggest do lead to something, Mrs. Marsden, you'll be leaving me the credit for solving a crime no one even suspected existed.
You just happened to notice some strange coincidences, is all.
There's a lot of strange coincidences going around these days. Like that just last night the credit union's silent alarm went off. And all that a search revealed was that one of the computer stations had been left on. Have a very good day, Mrs. Marsden.
So, how are your knees?
There. Hey, where are you?
Here. Corporal Qualtrough called back to tell me he talked to Rose and he's sure he's got enough for a conviction. McPherson had motive and opportunity and a bad sense of timing.
So, Rose gets to take care of his money while he's in jail.
Well, I don't know if she'll get much joy out of it. She probably can't stop imagining that poor little boy screaming for his uncle to come back. I know I can't.
Maybe McPherson can't either.
What kind of monster doesn't have a conscience?
Who knows? Maybe it was just a cornered rat. He thought he saw a way out.
And he built his own corner.
You know, you're not going to have much of a cleaning business if you keep putting your customers in jail.
Oh, that won't happen again.
You have been listening to The Ice Boy by Alf Silver, Episode 1 of Clean Sweep. Bonnie and Ben Marsden were played by Deborah Allen and Richard Donat. The others in the cast were Horace Dooland as McPherson, Gary Vermeer as Frank, Linda Busby as the teller, Rhonda McLean as Rose, Michael Pellerin as Corporal Kowalczyk, Sam White as Reed, George Jordan as the announcer, Ian Parsons as Darren, and with Ashley Swain as Melissa. The music was composed by Scott McMillan and David McIsaac and was performed by Gordon Stovey, Jamie Gatti, and Andre Lacroix, along with the two composers. The recording engineer was Pat Martin. Sound effects, Dermot Kenny. The associate producer was Peggy Hemsworth. Casting was by John Dunsworth and Alex Duncan. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. The Ice Boy was produced and directed in Halifax by Bill Howell, the executive producer of the Mystery Project.